Good morning. Well, you know that someone once said, the nice thing about apathy is that you don't have to exert yourself to be sincere about it. As a child of God, I have to be one who makes certain that I don't become someone who's absolutely sincere about my faith, but without applied energy, without lifting a finger. I so appreciate the song that Brother Robert sang for us this morning before the lesson, "I'll work till Jesus comes, I'll work till Jesus comes." Boy, all those things precede our going home. In the book of James chapter 1 and verse 22 through 24, James, he says that we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. You see, he wants us to be people who look into that mirror of our soul and see what kind of a person we are. And he wants us to do that. That's a daily task. And when we see that we're not right, we're not supposed to just walk away and forget what we saw. That's not what James is teaching. Listen, the definition of apathy is a lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. It's being indifferent, unconcerned, listless. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, that's not how the saints were. You know, and going back to Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us that the saints continued in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread and in the singing and prayer. They were doing. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, after the persecution of Stephen, the saints were scattered out all over the place. And if you read that, it doesn't say that they hid themselves. It doesn't say that they became unconcerned. It says that they went out preaching Jesus everywhere that they went. They were busy doing the work. Albert Einstein, he said, "The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything." Brethren, we can't be like the world. We can't be people who sit idly by and do nothing. When it really boils down to is apathy, and any other word is simply saying, "I don't care. I'm just going to sit back, enjoy life, and I'm not going to worry about other things." That definition, that song that we sang, is the exact opposite of apathy. And that's exactly what a child of God should be, because it's the opposite of what a child of God should be. We should not be people who don't care, who just sit idly by. When it comes to the Christians in the world, Christianity, the world itself is very extreme about apathy. They're extremely not interested. They are extremely not enthusiastic about Christianity, and they're extremely not concerned at all. As a result, when we're not careful, because we have such influence around us, that we can be infected in some ways. Looking honestly and very closely at ourselves in lieu of our culture, that we should be able to detect areas in our lives that may have been infected or affected by apathy. And I want you to be thinking about those things, our attitudes towards God, our attitudes towards worship, our attitudes towards the work of the church, and our attitudes towards our dress, the attitudes towards morality. All of these things can be so subtly infected by apathy. And as a result, apathy, it becomes a great danger. And it's a great danger simply because apathy is a subtle spiritual disease. You know, when we describe the zeal of the New Testament in the words of the Apostle Paul, he tells us that the church was redeemed by Christ from every lawless deed and purified for himself, his own special people, and they were zealous for good works. And we're talking about people who are interested in the work of the church, people who are interested in the growth of the body, people who are enthusiastic about worship, people who are enthusiastic about Bible study, enthusiastic about teaching the Word of God, enthusiastic about evangelism. That's describing God's people. That's what it means to have zeal for good works. People who are concerned, not unconcerned, about proper doctrine. People who are concerned about the lost, not unconcerned. People who are concerned for the needs of every other member of the body. Not people who are not concerned or unconcerned. We must understand that apathy is a subtle enemy. And we have to guard ourselves against it, lest we become victims. We don't want to become guilty of apathy. We don't want to be people who are not caring towards the things of our Lord and His church. The Apostle Paul's the one who wrote, "Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves," he says. That's something we should be doing every single day. And we examine ourselves against the mirror of our soul, which is God's Word. Am I a doer of the Word? Am I, as I am dispersed, talking about Jesus everywhere I go? And the Apostle Paul, when he tells us to examine ourselves, he tells us, "Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you?" Listen, my brethren, if Jesus is in me, then Jesus is part of me. I am going to reflect what He is. Jesus did not come down to the world and hide Himself. He didn't come down to the world and sit back in a big lazy chair. You know what He did? Paul says that if we're not showing those signs of Jesus being in us, that we may just indeed be disqualified. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. You know, a Boy Scout, a district executive, and I've mentioned this before, and I think it's worth hearing. He was once a preacher, and he came up to me. His name was Mark Edwards, and he said to me, "Listen, I see your zeal for the Lord. That's really a great thing, but trust me, it will go away." That's what he said to me. This ex-preacher of the Lord. What was he telling me? Was he telling me that I'm doomed to become apathetic towards my Lord? Is he telling me that the power of God that works in me at that time, right then and there, would fizzle out? What was he telling me, that I'm doomed to become uninterested, unenthusiastic, and unconcerned for spiritual things, that my fervency for the lost souls would somehow just, and sharing the truth about Jesus, about His love, is just going to diminish? Is that what he was telling me? Well, I told him, not going to happen. I don't even know how many years ago that was. Not going to happen. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. Not going to happen. He's my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation. Not going to happen. He's my stronghold. Not going to happen. That's what David said in Psalm 18 and 2. It's not going to happen. How can that happen when Malachi wrote in his book in chapter 3, verse 6, that he says, I am the Lord, I do not change. How can that happen? And when Paul said, if indeed Christ is in you, when you were baptized, when you obeyed the gospel, you had zeal. I know you did. You wanted to read the word. You wanted to be amongst God's people. You attended every service. You were enthusiastic, concerned, interested. Has it been a year later, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years? Are you fulfilling the prophecy of Mark Edwards? Have the words of the Lord fizzled out? Has the power of God gone cold? Not going to happen. And if it has happened, we know there are signs. You know, in Psalm 62 and verse 7, David wrote, in God is my salvation, my glory. He's the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. And God is that rock. That rock doesn't change. It doesn't waver. When you're standing upon the rock, you don't draw back. And if you have, you might well be a victim of apathy. And listen, beloved brethren, if that happens, if I lose my zeal, it's because something terrible has taken place in my heart. Something unimaginable. Brethren, don't ever accept somebody's view out there in the world that there's some kind of normalcy of being a laid-back Christian. That it's normal to forsake the assembly. It's normal not to be zealous about good works. It's normal not to be enthusiastic about Jesus or to be concerned about the lost. That's just a normal course of events. And that is a lie. And only the devil would have said such a thing. Apathy is a spiritual cancer that will consume you if you allow it to grow in your heart. My mother died of cancer. I know what I'm talking about. My uncle died of cancer. I know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about because there's not an adult in this room that doesn't know somebody that died from cancer. And normally, you don't know you have it until it's too late. Apathy is just like cancer. Both men and women are advised by doctors and specialists to look for the early signs of cancer. Whether it be skin cancer or some other breast cancer, you're to examine yourself, look for the signs, and if you see something, you run to the doctor. If you find something, you don't ignore it. You go and you attack it aggressively. And you do everything you can to eradicate that from your body. Apathy should be the same thing. You should recognize this terrible disease that inflicts so many. A disease that makes it easy to say, I just don't think I want to go today. Or, I'd rather not meet for the study. And I should be talking to those people about Jesus, but they probably don't want to hear it. Apathy. In the exact same way, beloved brethren, Christians are especially needful to be examining ourselves regarding whether or not we are personally infected, whether we're guilty, whether we're showing apathy. You know, we must all protect ourselves. We question ourselves every single day. And when we do every day, we just ask questions. We must ask, have I lost my zeal? Am I less excited about worship? Am I less excited about studying the Bible? About talking to others about Jesus? We must ask, is there a spiritual loss of interest in my day-to-day life? These are not hard questions. We must ask, am I consumed with secular interests? Are there things that drive me that somehow have become more important than God, than God's people, than worshiping with the saints, than singing the songs together and praying together? Is there something in my life that's driving me so much? Remember from the sermon Sunday, we had a man who said that, J.C. Penney was the man who said that if your work takes you away from worshiping in your church, you have work that God didn't want you to have. And that would go for play also. We must ask, are day-to-day things strangling my zeal from the things that are important of the Lord? Is there a hardness of my heart that wasn't there when I obeyed the gospel? You know, I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've had conversations with brethren, and I've heard arguments about why they don't need to come Sunday night, why they don't need to come on to Bible studies midweek or to in-home studies. And they say that there's no reference in the Bible. There's no clear reference, command, apostolic example, inference that they met on any other day than Sunday. And I will tell you that that's a heart problem, not a textual problem. That's a heart problem stemming from the disease called apathy. It's a lack of interest, a lack of enthusiasm, a lack of concern, a lack of zeal for spiritual things. Whenever you try to hold that argument up, you have to ask also the question, well, why do people come midweek? Are they sinning because there's no example given? Why do they come Sunday night? Why do we have two services? I can tell you that it's not because they're commanded to, but it's because they're interested, they're enthusiastic, they're concerned and zealous for spiritual things, for the good of the brethren, and for continued growth in the body. One person says, Wednesday's mine. Another person says, every day is the Lord's gift. Praise the Lord and praise His people. Listen to me. It's no little thing that the Hebrew writer calls us strangers and pilgrims. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It's no little thing that Peter calls us sojourners and pilgrims. He tells us we're to abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. It's no little thing. We are strangers, we are pilgrims, we are sojourners in this world because we have been called out of the world. We're supposed to be different from the world. To that, Peter said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Well, there you have it. We do have a purpose. How many people are running around looking for their purpose? We have a purpose. It's proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. To praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Remember that song? Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all ye heavenly hosts. Praise Him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise Him because He created all things. Praise Him because He sustains all things. Praise Him because He included me, a sinner, in His fabulous plan to save mankind. Praise Jesus because He's called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 and 6. Praise Him because He prepared a place for us in heaven and because He's coming back. Listen, if you believe that you can do all that while sitting in your easy chair alone or with friends, I just pray that Jesus doesn't come back while you're doing it. You know, these things make it so much more important that we recognize anything, big or small, that can get between us and Him. Apathy is a subtle disease because so many are infected by it without noticing. It's like that cancer we mentioned, heart disease. It's often unnoticed till it's too late. Many of you know that I have heart disease. I didn't know it. I'm shoveling snow, doing healthy things, and one day my jaw hurt a little and I go to the doctor, and next minute I'm in the hospital. It just sneaks up on you. You know, but it's never too late. Some sins like fornication, adultery, and murder, and so on, we see those things, they're blatant. You can't question that yourself when you get involved because they're very blatant. Other sins, especially those that pertain to the disposition of the heart, they're not so easily called out or labeled. You know, for example, somebody that's practicing covetousness. Nobody would ever have a problem admitting. If you said, is covetousness a sin? Absolutely, it's a sin, brother. Have you ever heard anybody come forward and say, I'm guilty of covetousness? Colossians 3:5 combines that with fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Idolatry is extreme admiration or love or reverence for something other than God. So day to day in our daily lives, do I tend to talk about the Browns more than I do God? Do I tend to talk about sewing more than I do God? Or golf more than I do God? Day to day, do I talk about how great my car looks, how my house is all fixed up, the TV shows that I watch in the evenings or afternoons about my great boat and how I love to go fishing? Do I talk more about my photography than God? Do I talk more about my dog than I do God? How often in the last week, think back in your mind, how often have you told somebody, I love God? Jesus saves. You need salvation. Can we study? Well, I want to end this with just four unnoticed sins of the heart. The first one is found in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And the question is, do you really? Think about that. Do you really love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself? You know, there's tests for that. So we talk so much about God's love. Do we forget to practice God's love? Do we forget that He deserves all the glory and all the praise? Every day when we wake up, is that the first thing on your mind? If it isn't thanking God, then maybe we don't love Him with everything that is in us. When we worship, is our song and our words, the things that we're thinking, in line with the worship? Or can we be like that church in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, the church at Ephesus, the one that had fallen, and Jesus told them to repent, or I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you do, in chapter 2, verse 5. But in verse 4, they fell because they had forgotten their first love. The second is, are you puffed up with pride? You know, many of the smallest things that we do in life are done out of pride. Again, in conversation, we talk more about our jobs, our likes, dislikes, hobbies, than we do God and His kingdom. That's pride. Do you like it when people look at you, when you show wisdom, and then you kind of show off a little bit and talk a little more? Do you dress it immodestly to show off your body? You go to church to show off your new dress or your new shirt, suit? Do you seek to impress people? Do you go out of your way to be noticed? We're studying the kings in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 13. Hezekiah, you know, he was a very godly man. But he was prideful, and he took the Babylonians on a tour of all his treasures. Look what I got. You know, Jeremiah in chapter 9 and verse 23 and 24, he says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in that he understands and knows me, that I am Lord. God is the Lord who exercises kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. You know, little things that we do, they seem so innocent. But God knows the motives of our hearts. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. Remember that? We don't judge the outside. God doesn't judge the outside. He judges what's in the heart. Third, do you seek to glorify yourself? Remember what the scripture says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of the Lord. Right? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. God says, do everything in my name. Everything. In other words, do you eat, drink, and sleep and breathe God? When you give, why do you give? Do you give for God's glory, to honor God? Do we make ourselves better than God? Do we pat ourselves on the back for what we have done? Do we have an ego? Finally, do you have unseen lust? That's a terrible thing that it's something, it's like the cancer. People don't know you have it. We have to discipline ourselves controlling what we watch on the television, what we listen to on the radio, what we listen to by other people, and what we watch with other people. When this hidden sin gets a control of your heart, it moves you to greater sin, like pornography. And listen to me, pornography, when you think that word pornography, you probably are thinking Playboy and Hustler and all these terrible nudie magazines, but that's not just pornography is watching Baywatch on TV. You hear me? Pornography is watching the commercials. Pornography is not turning the channel off. Partial nudity is pornography. We need to fight with those things. Don't allow those things to take over our minds. Don't dwell on them and cry out to the Lord for strength. Learn to pray right now in times of temptation. You know, these are subtle sins that gradually pull us away from God. Each of us can readily admit that those are sins, but we're not always able to spot them in our own lives. We're not always able to make them noticed, even in our own minds, and that's what makes them so dangerous, because they get between us and our destination. Paul wrote, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but with lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself." So I want to ask a final question. How can a Christian say, "I'm esteeming others better than myself," while willfully forsaking the assembly, while sitting at home or being out with friends on Wednesday nights, while knowing a brother or sister is in some kind of need, but closing your eyes to it, knowing full well that some other brother or sister in the church is going to handle the matter? Have you ever considered that one more voice in the assembly makes the singing better than one less voice? Have you ever considered that one more body makes the church a warmer place than one less body? That your presence makes the love of the brethren more powerful than your absence? And the truth is that apathy is at the root of all this. Its effect is subtle. It makes, make no mistake, it is a weapon used by the destroyer. Would you please turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians as we close in chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to listen carefully to the word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and ate that same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock and that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted, and do not become idolaters, as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us be tempted, nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents, nor complain as some of them did, also complain that they were destroyed by the destroyer." There is a destroyer. sitting down to eat and play, making those kinds of things more important than God is what destroyed them. We need to learn from their example. We need to learn and not be like them. Apathy certainly smites the heart and manifests itself very subtly. And if you have not obeyed the gospel, it could be because of apathy. It could be because of unconcern or unzealousness not interested. But I hope you know that Jesus Christ came to save your soul from hell. And the gospel is very simple and clear. Jesus tells us that after having heard the gospel, we need to repent of our sins. We need to confess that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized into Christ in water baptism for the remission of sin. And if we live with some sort of sin in our lives day to day, we need to eradicate that. We need to repent and confess that sin. The church is here to help you. If you have any need in any manner, shape, or form, if you just need somebody to talk to, or if you need to be baptized, we're here. Can we help you? If so, please come forward to one of the front pews as we stand and as we sing.